Hey, what's going on, friends? My podcast every day is broken up into two parts on the free platform. The first part, Act 1, is right now. When it's all done, go right on over to Act 2 to get the second half of the podcast. Thank you so much for checking out my show. Hello, friends. Welcome into the Eric Zane Show podcast. A daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures. From right here in the Impact Power Sports Studio. Impact Power Sports Studio. Online at impactpowersportsmi.com. Maybe you're looking for a Yamaha golf cart. Gas or propane powered. Perhaps you're looking at a new side-by-side. Boy, those are fun. There's always like guy driving home from up north who's got it on the back of a trailer and it's just loaded with mud. Oh, my God, it looks great. I'm still trying to dispatch my last purchase that was a failure. Not that buying a side-by-side would be a failure. But I got to get rid of that freaking mobile home or motor home, whatever it is. More on that later. So Impact Power Sports, online at impactpowersportsmi.com. They're great over there. Say hello to them, and they're in Rockford, Michigan. You can find them at impactpowersportsmi.com. Okay, we wrapped up a Big Fraud Wednesday broadcast right here, and it was outstanding. So much fun. I went 49 and a half minutes with Ben Glaze on Who Are These Free Beers. It was an outstanding time. And then we segued into the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast. And we had a lot of different little storylines bubbling under. And this has been happening more and more on the Ben and Eric show. Because what we're established, what we've established in almost like a passive way, it just kind of happened, is these important usual faces that make up the landscape of the live Zoom, their lives and the things that they input on the show have become storylines in and of themselves, in and of itself. Each one of them in and of itself. Chris in Buffalo, to me, probably one of the most memorable moments was when he was describing that he had these Amish dudes show up at his house to build the barn or the garage in his on his property. The Mexicans showed up and did the roof, but the Amish guys built the actual structure. And then he revealed something that was interesting about the Amish guys. I don't want to steal too much of the thunder, but there happened to be another person that was involved with the Amish guy that was not Amish, but revealed, you know, who he was to Chris, and Chris kind of recognized the guy. And that led to Chris doing his own investigative work when he went back in the house. And you won't believe who the guy was that he was talking to. And it led to all sorts of hilarity. Not to mention Black Belt Nick being there and him discussing the first time that we ever spoke to each other. It happened this past winter at at Patterson Ice Arena. Jeremy says, let's just say that the guy that I was just talking about, he and Mr. Pop Pop would have been really good friends. Maureen says, missing a few of the regulars last night. Murder Lover Linda, Cutie Patootie, Nick from the arena. Yeah, but it was great. And not to be outdone, but I am loving that Stevie's husband, Rob, is getting involved in this. Rob the Pop-Tart Maker Rob works for Kellogg's, and he's the guy making the Pop-Tarts. And Rob, you just gotta, okay. He's the type of guy who, when there's any intake of cannabis products, he develops this like perma stoner face. And it's, you take one look at him and you know he's out of his mind. Stevie says Rob has no idea how funny he is. Oh my God. He is outrageous. I love that guy. And we picked it up where with Stevie turned the fucking phone on him and he's, you know, he's taking a rip off of a pipe or a bong or whatever the fuck it was. And it was just too much. The guy, he doesn't have to say much, and it's just outrageous. Stevie was really revealing. In fact, I covered this in the show notes of the Patreon. Like today during the radio show, I posted the audio of these shows so that you all could enjoy them. And on the show notes for the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast, Stevie's hubby Robbie joins us again as he rips a bong. Stevie's hubby Rob is a Pop-Tart maker that leads to some speculation about efforts in the workplace. And then Stevie is getting an EV. Easy tricks Stevie into admitting she doesn't care about the environment and other horrible things. Also a highlight, Amanda, I had to throw, like in baseball, when the batter is crowding the plate, or he does something that annoys the pitcher throws one high and inside, backs him off the plate, sometimes hits him. I had to do that to Amanda because in the spirit of, there's a segment called The Final Word. Hey, what are you excited about? Now, when I came up with this, the idea was, I'm excited about seeing a new movie that's coming out today. It's going to be great. That's it. The whole segment should take maybe 4 minutes after you ask each person what the final word is. And occasionally, like Maureen's done this a lot. Well, let me start by telling you. And it just gets real long in the tooth. And it's like, oh, God, I can't take it. It's just so bad. Well, Amanda was doing that yesterday. I thought it wasn't a show. And it's pretty good. And it's all about the Delta murders or whatever, the Delphi murders. And she's like breaking it down. She basically just tells everything about this documentary she's watched. Tells every goddamn detail of it. And I'm just like, yeah. When does this end? So I need to remind people that the final word is supposed to be, well, give me something that's brief. It could be anything. Maureen says I was pretty concise with my final word. I didn't say much all show. Yeah, and it was great. Less is more. Amanda takes this huge swath of time. It took her 15 minutes minimum to explain that. Nick, the electrician, or Nick from the arena, is joining in. He writes, I was just catching up on the Ben and Eric show. I missed out on potential electrical work. I was busy wrestling a new one. Now, that is in reference to he is once again single and ready to mingle. So he is, this man spits so much game. It's unbelievable. I don't even think he has use for those apps that some of you animals use for your sex hookups. where you basically just go, oh, yeah, I think I'll have sex with this person. You click on it. 15 minutes later, your ding-dong is inside of that person. Now, if I were single, I can't say that I wouldn't do that. I don't know. I can't even relate. I've been with Pooh Bear since I was 18. So I that's something I can't really think about. So I don't know how Nick was able to wrangle this one. Was it through one of his sex apps like MAGALove.com or FuckBiden.com with sex? Whatever the hell. Tyler says it's the final word, not final novel. Molly says, wait, not to derail the convo, but holy, since 18? Yeah. It was my freshman year of college. 1988. It's a long time. Tyler says, taming a new beast already. Bravo, Nick. Becca Shea says, Pooh Bear had you whipped. Well, yeah, you know, you got those. That was back when you wear like those knit pants with the stirrups, with a gigantic a sweater over a turtleneck. Now that's attractive. Black Belt Nick writes, I've been with my wife since we were roughly 20, married 19 years in November. Scott says that Josie and he have been together since 15. Badger 7419 says, back when your crank worked. Scott's been married together 23 years, September. Adam Balboa checks in. I need to reach out to Adam Balboa. Let's get into this right now. Yesterday, I talked about this on the Patreon. Trump made himself in charge of the Kennedy Center Honors, which I didn't really know anything about other than that famous people get awarded the Kennedy Center honor every year. There's new people and, you know, various people in entertainment. And Trump did not want to be involved in it. Well, he wasn't really welcome because it was all Hollywood hates Trump. So he didn't feel welcome at all. So he recently, I don't know how it even works, made himself in charge of the Kennedy Center. And he fired everybody that was involved with it and put his acolytes in there. So now it's run by MAGA. So he has announced yesterday that entertainers that love him are going to be inducted in the latest round, latest year's offerings for the Kennedy Center Honors. So I guess Stallone is a big MAGA supporter. Stallone is getting inducted. Well, I mean, let's be honest here. Stallone should be in that. You think about Stallone's movies over the years and, you know, for a while, biggest star in Hollywood. I would say that does fall into the, you know, zeitgeist, if you will, or the culture, especially as he's getting older. While he's still with us, you can honor him. I get that. But, Adam sent me this, and he said Trump fucked this whole story up in this clip. Yesterday, he made the announcement. He was talking about Stallone and talking him up. And when describing how Stallone made his name for himself, I couldn't tell you that I know the story of how Stallone made a name for himself. What I know from Adam Balboa. Adam Balboa has told me that he wrote his own screenplays and wrote himself into the parts. That was his way of getting himself into films. Stallone here Trump, I keep saying that wrong. Trump is describing some of Stallone's story. And from what I'm understanding, this is like 100% not accurate.
Knew what a boxer's body was. So they brought him one, and I won't tell you who it was, but it was a big name. But the chest wasn't exactly what you need. One shot, and your heart would pop out. That wasn't too good. Then he did another one. He was fat, sloppy, but had a good face. Then he did another one and another one and another one. And he turned it down. He wouldn't take $1 million. He wouldn't do it. And it turned out that when they saw him, they said, you know, you'd be actually pretty good for this role. And he had never done this before, anything like it. But think of it. He turned down $1 million. He had nothing. He refused to let somebody else play. He didn't want to play it. He wasn't originally. He did it as a writer. But he ended up playing it because he couldn't find anybody else that fit the role. And who knew what would have happened?
Okay. So I guess that's Adam wrote. Adam knows everything there is to know about Stallone. That's why I call him Adam Balboa. Because he says he fucked that whole story up. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, how are you, buddy?
Good, how are you?
Ever better. You told me that... Oops. You told me that Trump screwed that entire story up. Is that right?
100%. It's well known Stallone wanted to be an actor from the very beginning. And he knew because of, like, he didn't have the look for an actor. You know, he's got the lip that droops from when he was born. So he knew that his best way would be through his writing. And he was only getting cast as like the thug and the villain and all these roles. So he wrote a story that made him the thug and the villain, but also with a heart like Rocky's to appeal to a wider audience. And from the very beginning, the studio loved the script, but didn't want him to play it. So they didn't offer $1 million. This is 1976. I think he said $100,000, which was a huge amount of money.
Right.
But they wanted, I mean, it's well documented. They wanted Ryan O'Neal, Burr Reynolds, Paul Newman to be it. I don't know what he's talking about, Fast Lobs, and Stallone kept holding out because he knew that if this movie became a success and he wasn't in it, he said he would throw himself under a bus. And, you know, he said he was poor at the time, but he knew how to be poor. So he's like, I'm just going to hold out. And they made the movie with him and cut the cost of the script way down, you know, to produce it. And it paid off. But, yeah, he 100% wanted to act in it.
Okay, so basically Trump fucked the whole thing up.
100%, yeah. I didn't even know what he was talking about. Like, he had a sloppy chest and fat. Like, they were going after high celebrities of the time. Like,
okay. At first, when he was like, I thought he was talking about Stallone when he said, oh, yeah, he had a sloppy chest. And whoever describes someone's body as having a sloppy chest.
Right. I was hoping Stallone was going to be there and walk up and be like, you know, Mr. Trump, I think you got like a relaxed brain or something. You're a little punchy on this.
So your love for Stallone runs so deep, so much so that you don't care that he loves Trump.
You know, I wish celebrities and that kind of stuff would just stay out of it. I hate the fact that something I'm so passionate about now is just like I don't want to be wearing a Rocky t-shirt and people automatically assume they know who I support because that doesn't, that's not true. So I wish that would just stay out of there. I mean, nobody's perfect.
Yeah, I don't care that he likes Trump. I mean, I think we're well past that now. I mean, you can still be friends with somebody who likes Trump. And
as long as
they're not fucking morons.
Right. So. I'm not going to turn and change my, you know, views on something just because he likes it, but, you know, or just because that's who he supports. But, yeah, my love for Stallone and Rocky just goes so deep.
I'm going to share again you on on the podcast with the pretender. What's that guy's name again?
Mike Kunda.
Mike Kunda.
Yeah.
And the podcast is called Rocky Stories?
The Rocky Files.
The Rocky Files.
Yep.
I liked those two. They were good.
Yeah. Yeah. And every week, or usually every week, sometimes it's been a little less, they bring in somebody else to just talk about, you know, how and why this character and that means something to people.
Did you approach them and say, hey, please, I think you'd like my story? And then you told them and then they booked you?
No, the way it happened was they wanted, for Stallone's 75th birthday, they wanted people to make a quick video just saying, you know, what, you know, happy birthday and that. So I did, and they put in a montage, and then they put all the clips on their Instagram, and Stallone does follow them, and he liked what I said. So then they reached out to me like, hey, Stallone liked your post. I mean, that meant a lot, even though all it was a simple click of a button for him. So then they asked me, you know, what does Stallone mean? I told him a little bit of my story. They said, would you be willing to be on it? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely.
Right, right. Outstanding. Well, I'm going to, again, link that up. I'm also going to link up the film, the documentary, The Pretender.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
Which is about this guy. Say his name one more time.
Mike Kunda.
Mike Kunda. Because as I indicated yesterday, you and he have the same amount of brain damage.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, in high school, I'm carrying around a black handball in my pocket. No one knows why.
How did Kunda become so into Rocky? I know how and why you got into Rocky, but how did he do it?
He said he saw it on TV when it came out, you know, after the theatrical running, it just spoke to him. And he said, you know, he just, like, that's what he never could find. He always had insecurities, and that's where he would go to find, confidence. And, you know, he never really knew what he wanted to do. He tried different jobs, and he said the only thing he wanted to be was Rocky.
Yeah.
And then he won a contest when Rocky VI came out and met Stallone. And Stallone actually said to him, you know, you do kind of look like me. You should do a tour. And that was the spark of the idea.
Okay. But he dresses like him. He talks. Right. He does all that shit.
Yeah, I wonder where the line is between him and Rocky, you know, like where does he begin and Rocky start and all, you know?
It's completely a sickness is what it is.
Right. Yeah, but it's a good sickness.
All right. Thank you for your time. Am I going to see you at the pinball orgy?
I'd like to. I'm going to try to. I got a school trip with my kid. We're going rafting. So if we get back in time, I'm going to come.
I'm going to read you some of these comments.
Okay.
Jeremy writes, and they say autism didn't exist in the 1980s.
it just wasn't diagnosed.
Cole writes, who gives a fuck? And then says, asshole of the day, Adam. I don't agree with any of those horrible comments. These are assholes, horrible individuals.
Right. Watch. Now they're going to go back and watch. If they actually watch my interview, then they're going to be like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. They'll feel bad, those fuckers.
You're making fun of a cancer kid.
Yes. Because I don't know if you know this, but Adam doesn't have any arms or legs. He had cancer of the arms and legs, and they were hacked off at a young age. He's just a stump.
Yep. They nicknamed me Bob.
All right. You're a good man. Thank you.
Yep. Bye.
More horrible comments. Matt writes, Free Bear and Hot Wings wouldn't even talk about this garbage. Tophus says, they think beating the mental illness out of you is much more effective because boomers don't think autism is real. Well, I haven't heard that one. I remember when I first heard of autism. I've talked about this before. It was in that movie Rain Man with Tom Cruise and Dustin Hoffman. It's the one where he counts the toothpicks on the ground. I was like, what? That was the first time I ever heard of it.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. all that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I don't think so much that it... I just don't think they had it labeled the way it is. I think it's always been there. I mean, back when we were kids, there was the level of diagnoses on mental illness was very, very broad. So instead of, like, as time has passed, they've been able to take and categorize in different ways because of things that have been learned in the medical communities and the mental health professionals. They're able to do that. But in 1977, it was just known as retarded. And once they said you are retarded, then the way they would handle that is they would take that child and put the child into, like, sit them next to me in the classroom. And then everyone in the class would bully that child and treat that child poorly. That's how it went. So we'd go play smear the queer and an N-word pile. And that kid was always the queer and the N-word. And we would beat the shit out of him. That's how we handled people back in the day. And then that wasn't even frowned upon. That was, like, encouraged. It was a horrible existence. It was that type of behavior that we engaged in that made us the assholes that we are today. Now, some folks really leaned into it and made sure that we didn't shed those tendencies the older we got. And that's me. I am the apex predator of this horrible behavior. It's a miracle I wasn't killed by various people in the school who were bigger, faster, stronger than me. I don't know how I survived. And I think my maturity peaked maybe just a few months after 1977. Adam with another Stallone fun fact. He says Stallone has a non-verbal autistic son. Tophis adds that the child in the classroom was doomed if they were labeled retarded. Yeah. And that's not even being mean. That's the way it was. Clown of Carnage says some of our family had a hard time accepting my son's diagnosis. That's right. Nick's son has, I believe, autism. So is the suggestion that they're like, we don't believe that. That's not true. There's no way. Yeah, he's fine. One of those things. Matt writes, did anyone else see the post FBHW did last night minus EZ? I don't know what you are talking about. They have blocked me. I cannot see those. Anytime I get anything from there, it's because someone else has screenshot and sent my way. Do tell. Give us the info. We got to find out what's going on. I am interested. Either screenshot it and send it to me, or describe it. Use your words right here in the chat, Matt. That would be awesome. And then we can discuss that on this Thursday edition of the show. Matt says the air horn news stunt edited you out. Ooh. I can't wait to see that. Bob says, I saw it. It's the train horn. And in the pic, Zane is cropped out. that might be on WGRD.com. There we see the guys. Guys and gals, thank you. You raised $167,000 for hungry kids. That is cool. Maybe it's this. Free beer and hot wings favorite show memory? Yeah, I don't know. If it's on Facebook, just send me the screenshot. I don't know where it is right here. I don't want to look for it any longer. Matt says, sorry, I should have sent it last night. All right. Autism and Asperger's. Black Belt Nick. Tova says, I knew a girl in my kindergarten class who had one white eyebrow, and she was bullied so bad right up until high school. Oh, my God. That is terrible. Clown Nick says they didn't really want to watch him or help. Bob says, I saw it. It's the train horn and the pick of Zane is cropped out. Tommy wrote the article. Tovis's favorite memory was it when he berated the crew because they didn't tell him that they loved him. All right, I'm not sure what's going on there. poor Nick, I think he just revealed some information that wasn't known by anyone. And I'm not sure what is going on there. I don't want to speculate. I can only gather bits and pieces, but I think there was a foot in mouth moment between Black Belt Nick and Megan. Inadvertent, of course. And not entirely sure. I don't even want to speculate what's going on. She writes, oh, 100%. I'm not 100% on this myself, but it's worth unpacking. It may have been revealed just now in the chat that Black Belt Nick has lost a child at some point. Am I getting that correct? One of your children is not with us anymore. Okay, is that right, or am I getting that wrong, or is it someone else is dead? There's a dead person. Someone is dead. I hope it's not a child. Okay. Thank God. No. All right. The person who did not accept that one of Nick's child was on the spectrum revealed that one of the family members had passed away. To me, it looked like one of your kids kicked the bucket. And then Megan was like, oh, my God, because if that happened, she would have been like having a terrible time. No, I just thought that. She didn't even think that. Wow, that would have been a bummer. Chris says, no, one of the in-laws. I followed that. Idiots. Well, I'm sure, but I'm only half looking at it while I'm doing a show. I thought that there was like a dead kid. Thank God there's no dead kid. Can you imagine, though, if Megan was involved in a discussion and then just by accident, it turns out that she kind of stepped in it and one of Nick's kids was actually taking a dirt nap. Megan would have lost her fucking mind. She's an anxious little bugger. Getting numerous attacks about not being able to follow with Black Belt Nick's story thread about the deceased in-law who used to give him shit. I don't know. I mean, that's terrible that he's dead. But I mean, think about that. I'm going to challenge the physicians and the mom and dad about the health of a child. Come on, man. All right. Thank you so much for being part of this show on Facebook and YouTube, but I am going to kick you out. The rest of the show is available on Twitch. You go to twitch.tv/Eric Zane Live and follow the page, subscribe to the page, and then you get the whole show in its entirety. twitch.tv/Eric Zane Live While you're at it, follow me on my other platform, the Patreon, entirely separate, patreon.com/Eric Zane What you're seeing and hearing right now is my free content. But there is an entire library of different material on the Patreon. That's paid content. This is free content powered by the sponsors like BC Pizza and Oakland Auto Detail. But the Patreon content is even more. Every day there's new material on Patreon, whether it be the book club, whether it be the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast, whether it be Who Are These Free Beers, there's new material each and every day going up on Patreon. And try it out for 7 days free. patreon.com/Eric Zane If you want to say hello via the email, I always love getting email from folks. Just head over to the Shoreliners Striping inbox, eric@ericzaneshow.com Twitch and Facebook brought to you by Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid, and EV. There's racing at Berlin Raceway coming up on Saturday. You have till tomorrow at 11:59 p.m. to get your tickets for $15. After that, they go up. BerlinRaceway.com 15 and under free. Parking free. You can bring in a bag or a cooler, 12 by 18 or smaller, with all of the snacks you want to have and all of the soft drinks. No booze, no glass, please. I will be there on Saturday, August 23rd for the first ever round of Eric Zane Uninformed Track Announcer. I will actually be race announcing one of the races on my own, adding to my stable of shit I do as a track announcer. I do not, I mean, honestly, talk about not knowing anything. It's probably going to be horrible. I'm probably going to get beaten. I don't know if these hillbillies have a sense of humor. So who knows where this is going to go, but I've got the full blessing of the track. BerlinRaceway.com. I once did water polo. I got commissioned to do a water polo game at the high school. And I had to have a spotter with me to tell me what was happening. And it was like a ninth grade kid. And so the athletic director sits me down and he goes, okay, this is your spotter. I go, well, that's good because I don't have any idea what the hell is happening. I don't know the rules. I just know it's a bunch of wet kids. So I said to the kid, I go, look, man, you're just going to have to basically tell me everything I have to say. Whatever's, I don't know the rules. I don't know anything. Do you know the rules? Kid goes, yeah, I play. I go, all right. Well, here we go. And the kid was totally ripped, too. He was jacked. A ninth grade kid could have easily have squashed me like a bug. So I didn't give him any shit at all. I go, look, I am counting on you. And he did great. He was amazing. I've got a realtor on this show. It is Adam Kasari. He's also one of the limited late model drivers at Berlin. But I'm talking about his realty skills here as a realtor. You can reach out to him at 616-914-4061. So if you're thinking about selling your home or buying a home, you need Adam Kasari. Tyler says those hillbillies, those HLLers, take racing seriously. They're going to kick your ass easy. Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell them to shut up. If anybody yells up at me, I'm going to do just that. Shut up. Tyler also adds that Mr. Pop Pop was all in on the polo announcing at the thought of wet kids. Folks, I just got word. Some of you are fans of the band Waylon. Now, as the years went on, two members of the band, Tyler, the drummer, and Stinky Dean, the bass player, left the band. Phil Valensky and Mitch Arnold continued on. They moved to Nashville. They've been finding their way since then. They are reuniting for one show September 6th, which is Saturday. So after the paintball war, I am going to the Waylon Balloon Festival. This is an outdoor venue to watch the reunion of Waylon. Oh my God. I am so stoked about this. We go way back. I've been talking to Stinky Dean for quite some time in the last few days, along with Phil from Waylon, about this. The boys are getting back together. We had so much fun together. So you can join me at that event, the Waylon Balloon Festival. Ben Glaze, you're saying Dean will be there. Yes, Dean, the bass player from Waylon. Stinky Dean. Dean Pizzazz. Dean Pizzazz. Tyler Colburn, the drummer. They're reuniting for one night in Waylon, Michigan at the Waylon Balloon Festival. That's a great scene there. It's a charity event to raise awareness and money for, like, mental health. All right. Nick says, a guy that I went to high school drives at Berlin 2, last name Epping. Yeah, I know that name. I see that name on the leaderboard all the time. Stevie says, is Stinky Dean the one that hates the ketchup seal on the plastic bottles? I'm glad you brought that up because we would put this guy through hell, Dean Pizzazz. He has a revulsion for... like when you have a ketchup bottle and then where the ketchup comes out, some of the ketchup will dry on there. If he sees it, he just starts dry heaving. It's so intense. I've never seen anything like it. It's wow. I mean, he's just going, he cannot handle it. So Dean is up for anything. He is the true showman. As the years went on, we would do live shows with Waylon. Like if we traveled to some town for the radio, we would bring the band with us. And they would set up, and then we would take a commercial break on the radio, and then the band would play for like the 6-7 minutes that the commercials were playing, and then the crowd could hear them, and then we would come back from the commercial break and their music would be our rejoin music for the network. It was really cool. Well, anyway, we were in Portland, Maine one time and we had a luchador mask, you know, like in pro wrestling in Mexico, those guys wear those masks over their faces. We had this luchador mask and we filled it full of ketchup on the inside of it. and let it dry, like for a long period of time. So it was just like the opening of a ketchup bottle. That type of like pasty, glazy type of chewy type of ketchup gum was on the... So that's exactly what he hates. And we made him put that luchador mask on his fucking face. So you can just imagine. Oh, his response was so incredible. Then we traveled to Nashville, Tennessee on the day that a massive mocha sat on Joe. And we said to Dean, hey, massive mocha has to sit on you too. So we made Dean get crushed by a massive mocha. In my text conversation with him, I wrote, when we put the ketchup on the inside of the luchador mask and made you put it on your face, he says, I tell that story all the time. And I said, what about when that fat bitch sat on you in Nashville? I think she's dead now, by the way. He says, that was terrible. She smelled like goat cheese. Rotted goat cheese. He's not lying. I remember when I ran into massive mocha the night before in the hotel, in the lobby, because we were staying in the same hotel and she needed to get paid. So we had to give her $500 cash. And she demanded $100 bills. So we had five $100 bills. And we called her. Mocha, we're down in the lobby. And she came down. She had a handler, some guy. I think it was her boyfriend. And the fucking elevator doors open up and she comes out. And she's standing with us and we're all like in awe, you know, of her size. She was featured on Dr. Phil because of the that subculture of people who like to get squashed. And she's just like sitting on them. So we hired her because she wasn't that far from where we were. She comes down, opens up the elevator, opens up. She comes out and we're standing next to her and we're like kind of side-eyeing each other. What the fuck? This is like, kind of like a stink, some funk in the air. And we realized it was her. Like she has all these massive folds. And so they're accumulating stench. So like each fold on her arm and her neck, and it's all like ass cracks accumulating bacteria and odor. And so she stunk really bad. And then we made her sit on Dean. And then there was a time when Waylon was playing in town here. And it was Pooh Bear, myself, and one of Pooh Bear's friends that will remain nameless. And, you know, Dean's like 27, 28 at the time. I'm like 41. Pooh Bear's like 45. And the friend is also 45. Well, the friend hits it off with Dean. And we're backstage after the show, and I come around the corner, and Dean's making out with this mom who we brought. And I was like, oh, boy. So started to get a little hot, you know, and it's time to leave. And the next thing I know, I'm pulling out of the venue, and it's Pooh Bear and I in the front seat, and Dean and mom making out in the back seat. And I'm like, oh, fuck. So I'm like urging them to keep it together because I'm almost to where I'm going to drop them off, which is at her house. And they are so ready to go. Slam the doors. See you later. All right. That is act one of the podcast. Act two is available right after this one. Go check it out. What are you doing? Don't miss a second of it. Thank you so much.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.